sponsorship's important.
Now that we know what a sponsor is and isn't, let's find out how people were sponsored in the 1940s. So if we go to the key concepts from the 1940s, as I said, this is based on interviewing more than 200 people who got sober in the 1940s. We did a few walk back in time. Somebody mentioned Walt Q out of Phoenix, Arizona, who actually was raised in Everett, Washington, got sober, I think, 46 or 47. He's one of the 200 and a whole bunch of other people. But let's look at the key concepts. Again, controversial, yes. Confrontational, hopefully, no. Okay? Bear with me. Almost universally, they said, do not put any block between the newcomer and step 12. Get the sponsee to step 12 as quickly as possible so he or she, number one, knows that the process works. Two, you alleviate the pain that could lead to relapse. And three, you give that person the courage to do this again and again and again on a regular basis. How does the sponsee know that our program works if you don't give them the overview right away? It's not one step a month, one step a year, no steps for the first year. Get that person to step 12 as quickly as possible. Explain that the process is simple and straightforward. And that's what we're going to be concentrating on this afternoon, how simple and straightforward it really is. Number two, call the sponsee. I do not know how this got turned around. There's written literature, there's pamphlets from the 1940s. The sponsor calls the sponsee. Why would we have the sick person calling the well person? No, the well person calls the sick person. And in the 1940s, that call meant you actually went and visited the newcomer. Because very few people had phones back then, especially people just coming in off the street. Again, 180 degree turn from where it is today. And I find it very egotistical to meet somebody in a meeting and throw a card and say, call me. I mean, that is not a... That was quick. Read the appropriate parts of the big book to the newcomer. Again, anybody who was there last night, Phil would have read this book to me, the key paragraphs. Except I challenged him that I could read, and then he went and gave me some paragraphs to read, but I couldn't remember anything. The reason that this is in there, in the 1940s, this book cost the equivalent of $95 today. This book was not being passed out like popcorn. 95 bucks for one of these. Many groups had to pass the basket for weeks and months to get enough money to buy one book. And when that one book arrived, the home group members would read it and they would decide what paragraphs to present to a newcomer. And I have highlighted those key paragraphs. It's in the next hand, it's in the handout further into the packet. Called as the 50 key paragraphs. But 95% of this book was not used to take newcomers through the steps. So why would you hand a newcomer a book and tell them to read the whole thing before you'll work with him or her? It's another death sentence. I think I mentioned last night, I wouldn't have even gotten halfway through the doctor's opinion before I chucked the book and walked out of the room. Thank God Phil knew that I wasn't going to be able to comprehend this book. The healing is in the sharing, not in the writing. This is the most controversial part of the whole journey. in the 1940s, the sponsor did the writing. Okay, okay. People just get, I think people get up and walk out when I get to this one. Because they want to run the show. They want to run the newcomer's life. They want to direct the newcomer. And dictatorial sponsorship is a problem. We participate in the newcomer's recovery. We don't dictate that recovery, we participate. And we participate by sitting down, reading the book together, talking about the few passages that were used in the early days. And second of all, asking the questions, having the newcomer talk, and the sponsor writes. Again, last night, you know, I showed up at my sponsor's house with one word on a piece of paper, Phil, that was his name. And I did the talking, he did the writing, and we did 4, 5, 6, 7, and we set up 8, 9 in just about an hour and a half to 2 hours. The fourth step, Joe and Charlie, good personal friends of mine, may they rest in peace. They would share from the podium. Things got really crazy in the 1990s. And both Joe and Charlie endorsed Back to Basics as the introduction to their work, How the Big Book Comes Alive. But in the 90s, they would be sharing from the podium. Anybody that takes more than 10 minutes on a four-step doesn't understand the process. And we're going to do a little 10-minute four-step later in this session.
Mine or yours?
We're doing a group one. We're doing a group inventory. Assist the sponsee with his or her amends. Work together on the amends. Like again last night, Phil said he couldn't make it to Patagonia when I made amends to my mother, but he was the first one I saw when I drove back to Tucson. And we sat and we talked about it for an hour, and Phil tried to buck me up, and okay, even though it didn't go well, still the manager, you've done your part, you cleaned up your side of the street. Little did I know that I just planted a seed 9 months later, my mom walks into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous at 67 years of age. Share guidance with the sponsee. 11th step. People wrote their guidance in the morning, they shared it with others during the day, and they reviewed it at night. If you don't have, I like to do this one. Go ahead and do it right now. If you don't write guidance in the morning, what do you have to review at night? I can't remember at 8 p.m. what I was thinking and meditating on at 8 a.m. Maybe some of you can, but I certainly can't. But I can also pull a pretty egotistically driven response. Look, I did everything God asked me to do today. Everything. 100%. Yay me. I shared guidance with a sponsee in Tucson, Arizona earlier today. Yesterday afternoon, I shared with a sponsee from Washington, D.C. I share my guidance basically with anybody who calls in. Just give me until 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to do that right now too. I'm kind of moving around here a little bit, but I've been writing guidance since I met James H. in 1996, because that's what the Oxford group did, that's what the early AAs did. I did show you Ann Smith's guidance journals yesterday afternoon, a little one word, two word, three word guidance, but that's how she did it. I'm doing this in 1996. In 1997, I take a guy through the steps in a place in Center City, Minnesota. I'm not going to go any further into got it. Took him through the steps in 2 hours, sitting in the cafeteria between 12 and 2 o'clock in the morning. He got it. And we've been sharing partners ever since. And he calls me sometime about in 1999 and says, "Wally, I'm calling to share guidance." And I said, "Steve, it's 11 o'clock in Stuart, Florida, but it's only 8 o'clock in Tucson, Arizona." He said, "What are you trying to tell me?" "I'm trying to tell you that I haven't done my guidance yet." And he said, "Well, when did you wake up?" I said, "Well, I woke up an hour ago." Silence. "What? No time for God? God's got time for you. You mean you can't give God 5 minutes of your time? How selfish, self-centered is that?" The big book says upon awakening, it doesn't say an hour or two after awakening. And he had me. He nailed me. And that's why I do it every morning, just in case Steve calls. He's a good friend. I talked to him between Bakersfield and Sacramento. And we shared guidance over the phone. Driving up here. Good friend. We share about every 2 weeks. Okay, share guidance. Co-sponsor of the next sponsee. We did touch on that briefly yesterday. Many people were sponsored by a team. Many people were sponsored by more than one person. I only sponsor by team because I'm out of town so much. And if somebody is in need, they have 3 or 4 of my sponsees. They have all of their phone numbers. You call Floyd, you call James, you call William if you can't get a hold of me. And that's the way it was done in the early days too. Most people had more than one sponsor. Ebby had 2 sponsors. He was taken in by Roland Hazard and Severn Graves. Bill had 2 sponsors. We showed that yesterday. Ebby and Shep Cornell. Dr. Bob had 2 sponsors, Bill Wilson and Clarice Williams. Clarice Williams in Akron, Bill in New York. And we all know AA number 3, Bill D, had 2 sponsors, Bill and Bob. So it was part of our history. It's in this book. It's all part of our original program of recovery that produced that 75% recovery rate. Bill got really concerned about sponsorship in the late 1950s. He saw things starting to get out of school. He saw things becoming very rigid. And he wrote an article in the Grapevine. That's in the back of the first page. "Though 300,000 have recovered in the past 25 years, maybe 500,000 more have walked into our midst and been out again." Look at what Bill's saying. By 1961, we no longer had a 50 to 75% recovery rate. It's now less than 50%. And Bill is quite concerned about that. "We can't well content ourselves with the view that these recovery failures were entirely the fault of the newcomers themselves." Here, all the time, "Oh, they didn't want it bad enough." No, we didn't provide them with a solution. Let's take responsibility here. "Perhaps a great many didn't receive the kind and amount of sponsorship they so sorely needed. We didn't communicate when we might have done so, so we AAs failed them." Thank you, Bill. Next page, we do have the 50 key paragraphs. If you take these paragraphs, highlight them in your big book. You don't have to use every one of them, but it's nice to know where the 50 key paragraphs are so that you can turn to them if you need specific information on how to take that person through a specific part of each and every step. So now we have the 50 key paragraphs. "Are you with me?"
Yes.
Okay. Now, the 50 key paragraphs, I just want to mention, I have broke, oh, Joe, did you find a marker?
No, no marker, I can't.
No whiteboard, okay. I am going to do a little show and tell. Let's see what I can do.
Can we do it?
It is in the middle of a presentation. I'm going to do it with this piece of paper. Many people see recovery as a square and a triangle. Now, we know the triangle came from Ann Smith, Dr. Bob's wife. The square is new. Anything that's not 1940s, I will comment on. But the square, if you just take and put me in the middle of the square, you can actually put another square around it and draw some lines. Then draw some arrows all pointing to me. Me, 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 me. This is called the prison cell of addiction. This is what addiction looks like. It's all about me, 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 me. It's all about my drugs. It's all about my alcohol. It's all about my property. It's all about my prestige. It's all about my car. It's all about my girlfriend. It's all about my bank account. And this step is described in depth and detail in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is step zero. It's how we act before we get here. Now when you go to meetings and you listen to people share, you can tell who in the room is on step zero. Because all they want to do is talk about themselves. AA meetings were designed to talk about God and the steps. Not about ourselves. Yeah, we've converted into group therapy without a therapist. Very dangerous too. But the recovery triangle have me and you at the base of the triangle and the power at the top of the triangle. And that's what recovery looks like. It's a triangle. And Dick probably has the handout. Do you have the handout for that with the square? And the, it's not standard, but it's sometime over the years I normally pass them out. But I don't have them with me right now today. So that's why I'm working off of this. Now, I want to take you to another aspect, keeping in mind that we are looking at the steps of recovery in terms of the four spiritual activities of surrender, sharing, amends, and guidance. I have done a considerable amount of work with the Native American community. I am honored, absolutely honored, to have worked with the Pasquayaki, Kaona Odom nations in Arizona, Navajo, Apache in Arizona, New Mexico, and then I've been going around the country and I've worked with the Cheyenne Nation, I've worked with the Ojibwa Nation, I've worked with the Chippewa Nation, I've worked with the Algonquin Nation. I actually did this at Onala 2 years ago, and most of the people in that treatment center are Native Americans. Within that community, the first thing we have to realize is that most Native Americans do not comprehend 12. 12 is, they just lasso it. Because everything within most communities is based on four. And the four are put on the medicine wheel of recovery, or the medicine wheel. I use it as a medicine wheel of recovery. What is the medicine wheel? It's a circle divided into four quadrants. In terms of the four, spring, summer, fall, winter. Sunrise, daytime, sunset, nighttime. East, south, west, north. Much of the heritage, much of the tradition is based on four. So what I've been doing is take the four spiritual activities of surrender, sharing, amends, and guidance. And we put that on the medicine wheel. And we talk about it in terms of walking the medicine wheel of recovery. Walking the wheel. And then we take and put a couple circles, that's what I mean with that, around the medicine wheel with an arrow. Oops. So we have two people walking the medicine wheel together. It's not a me program, it's a we program. And what we have is the sponsee and sponsor. A beautiful way of looking at recovery because, again, within the Native community, keep in mind, surrender, sharing, amends, and guidance. Sunrise, day, sunset, night. By inference, you take all 12 steps, four spiritual activities each and every day. I do a surrender every morning. I do some inventory work, share with others throughout the day, make amends if I've found anyone. I write my guidance in the morning, I review it at night. I walk this wheel every day. And that's what recovery is all about. What step are you on? Guess what the old timer's response to that is? What step are you on? All of them. A whole new mindset. Not 12 distinct little boxes with forms to fill out and questions to answer and all the folderol that we see today. We just walk the wheel. We just walk the wheel. And I have to admit, this wheel, the interpretation of this wheel actually came from a member of the Tohono Nation, and I'm very grateful to her. And so it was a woman who said, put it on the wheel. I walk, and she even explains, I walk the wheel every day. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, once you walk the wheel today, on the inside as the sponsee, you get to walk the wheel tomorrow as the sponsor. So you walk the inner wheel, and then you're ready to walk the outer wheel and take the next person through the work. Just wanted to pass that one on. That will be available on my website before the end of the year. I have it all. I'm in the process of writing that up. It's going to be a full chapter or longer on my work with the Native Indigenous people and all the blessings I've received walking the wheel with them together. Say again?
What's your website address?
www.aabacktobasics, all one word, aabacktobasics.org. Yeah, that's gonna be posted. I've got the wheel in the four sacred colors of several of the nations. And it's just been a blessing.
What I'd love to do now is take a few minutes on the fourth step. We do have the handouts. It's in the packet, but I don't want to break the packet. If you have one of these separate sheets, just pass them on. If you don't, then... Anybody who's been through Back to Basics, we use a 1946 version of the Assets and Liabilities Checklist. This is the 1945 version of the Assets and Liabilities Checklist. And the reason that we're talking about this is because in all the seminars I'm doing with 300, 400 people in the room, the grid is too complicated for a lot of people who are doing this for the first time. So this is a simplification of 1946. It goes back to the way it looked before they put the vertical lines in. But I also want to, in terms of what is in your packet, you've got a blank assets and liabilities checklist, and then you've got one that's based on a fifth step that you've done with your sponsor, and then an eight-step amends list, followed by a ninth-step amends list with type of amends added, okay? Very simple, very straightforward. But what we were doing in the seminars, and again, I've got two people to thank for this, in 2011. The first one is at the Wilson House in East Dorset, Vermont. We're doing a fourth and 11th step workshop. I matched up with a guy with 20 years of sobriety. He can't figure out the grid. He turns the sheet over. These are the questions for the sponsor to ask the sponsee. This is not new. This is something that I put together, but to make it really simple. But the questions are basically right up here. Who or what are you angry at? Who are you afraid of? Toward whom have you been selfish? Where have you been dishonest? You talk, I'll write. I'll fill this in. Some people, well, this one person in particular, and he was 20 years sober and couldn't figure out the grid. And then, right after that, another person in Alliance, Ohio, who was 2 weeks sober, he couldn't figure out the grid. So both of them answered the questions on the back. And this can be a four-step inventory without even using the grid. You lose the asset side of the sheet, but if you feel comfortable just asking the questions and filling in the back of the sheet, please feel free to do so. Again, a lot of people question where the assets and liabilities checklist come from. It's right out of the big book. Keeping in mind that page 65 was not used during the early days to take people through the work. Oh, there's heresy. I have highlighted the 50 key paragraphs. That example on page 65 was never used because nobody understood it. The guidelines for doing the 4 and 5 column inventory came from Joe and Charlie in the 1970s. Didn't come from AA, it actually came from Joe McQuaid's treatment center. It's a treatment center version of a four-step inventory. And people say, oh, it's the only way to do it. No, it isn't. Why is there no reference to this inventory in the 12 and 12? None whatsoever. The only thing in the 12 and 12 is the assets and liabilities checklist. Why? Because I interviewed the person who wrote the 12 and 12, Tom P. He wrote it for Bill. He was Bill's ghostwriter, and he explained the reason we didn't put it in there is because nobody was using it. I interviewed Tom P. 3 times. So that's a bit of controversy. But let's make it simple enough so that 19 out of 20 get it rather than, I mean, 3 out of 4 get it rather than 1 out of 20. That's what this is all about. It was so simple in the 1940s. And it says, the commercial inventory. What is the commercial inventory of page 64? All based on double entry bookkeeping. That's a business inventory. Assets equals liabilities plus owner equity. Anybody that's had accounting 101 in high school or college? Yeah. That's what a commercial inventory is, assets and liabilities. So when everybody's following along and tracking, and all of a sudden they get to this example, which nobody understood how to do, so they just did. And you can't say it didn't work because 3 out of 4 made it without page 65.
Wow.
I know, this is the controversial part. But let's go ahead and try one. Let's just go ahead and let's do a group one. I'd like to do a group one. But I'd also like for you to go ahead, and we'll take a break in about 5 minutes. It's only going to take 5 minutes to do the fourth step. First of all, your name does not go on this sheet. Second, nobody else's name goes on this sheet, except in generic terms or coded terms. As it reads on page 64 of the big book, whoops, I know I have one in here somewhere, there it is. Page 64, the second, third paragraph, it says that we did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly, assets and liabilities. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced itself manifested in various ways was what had defeated us to consider as common manifestations. Based on what is written in the big book, what they're asking us to do with our assets and liabilities checklist is to fold it over so the assets are hidden from view. It gets very confusing trying to do assets and liabilities at the same time. The big book authors tell us to only do the liabilities in step 4. We can open this up and review it when we get to step 5. The end of step 5. Okay, so we now have our assets and liabilities checklist. And we are going to do a group inventory. Is anybody angry about any person or anything right now this afternoon? Raise your hand and let me recognize you. Okay, okay, let's start and I'll work our way. Who are you angry at?
My mother.
Mother, I'm going to put family. Over here next?
I was
going to
say mother as well.
Oh, two mother, two family.
I should say my expectations.
Angry about your expectations. Over here.
IRS.
IRS.
Institution.
I mean, that's coded enough for me, but I'm going to put taxes. Oh, no, I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to put a dollar sign. Okay? And back here.
Yes. Sandy. Her name is Sandy.
I'm sorry, say again.
Her name is Sandy.
Her name is Sandy. Is she an acquaintance, a friend?
Good friend.
Friend.
Best friend.
So I'm going to call her friend number one. Okay.
About my mentor, I'm renting a room from me. I'm angry at her.
A boarder.
Tenant.
Tenant. There we go. Thank you. Okay. We have a resentment inventory. 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Who or what are you afraid of? What fears do we have in this room today? Just raise your hand and over here.
Financial.
Put the dollar sign here too. Okay. Yes.
My son's health.
Health. Mm-hmm. An
And I'm going to put family member. Again, everything's coded. Yes?
My kid's misbehaving for the babysitter.
Your babysitter?
My kid's misbehaving for the babysitter.
Oh. My kids. Kids, Dad. Yes, ma'am?
Being unloved.
Being what?
Unloved.
Oh. Yes. We have to talk about these things. No, no, no. This is very real. And this is a very heartfelt inventory. Being unloved. Yes.
Fear my daughter won't grow up healthy.
Oh, fear of, I'm going to put family member again. Unhealthy. Okay. Yes, one more?
Cancer.
Fear of cancer?
Yeah, making that 5-year window the unknown.
Oh, I know that 5-year window. I'm just going to put health. Okay. You see, you know what we need to talk about when we sit down alone and do this. But it only takes a couple minutes to fill this out. Selfishness, not even going to go there. That's a given. What's that? Oh, selfishness, I just drew a line through all of the above. Dishonesty. Has anybody ever been dishonest? Oh, and a hand went up. I've been in many rooms where people say, oh, not me. I've never been dishonest. Even though my PO thinks I've been dishonest.
Rationalization.
Yeah. Dishonest about rationalization.
Okay. Rationalizing things that are dishonest and trying to make it okay.
Yes. We are definitely going to talk about rationalization. Over here.
Being honest about talking about myself.
Getting honest about self, okay. Honest about self. And here.
I don't know if it's the same thing that he means, but like hiding a bad motive under a good performance.
Ooh. I like that. Bad motive under good performance. The actor. Again, nothing on this sheet of paper is incriminating to any person on this planet. The reason why this has come back to haunt us as a fellowship and as a 12-step community is long, laborious written inventories have had some very negative consequences. And I'm talking from first-hand experience, people that I've taken through the steps, personally. I have seen long, laborious written inventories submitted to military tribunals, and people have lost their commissions in the military from what they put on an inventory. I know these are not supposed to fall into enemy hands, but life happens. Long, laborious inventories submitted to employers, and people have lost their jobs. Long, laborious written inventories submitted to judges, and people have been sent to prison for what they put on a 4-step inventory. People have lost their children. People have lost visitation rights for their children.
Long, laborious inventories without a 5-step have ended up in death.
And yes.
I've seen it.
Yes.
We lost a guy in Denver. They found him in the front seat of his car. With the 9mm just put through his brain right next to the 4-step inventory that he never shared. Again, another true story. Yeah, this is serious business. This is life and death. I believe in the 1940s they really had this figured out. And they had it figured out so that everybody could feel at ease and comfort and not feel the shame and guilt of sitting at home at 2 o'clock in the morning writing down every dastardly deed you've ever done. I'm just going to stick with the first four. A lot of times that's what's done on the first inventory. There are four more that we could go into in depth and detail, maybe in a subsequent inventory. But are you with me in terms of the simplicity of the work? Okay, let's go ahead and take a 5-10 minute break and 5-minute break. Okay, and then we'll reconvene to take the rest of this.